but I got promoted.
Yeah. Okay, this one is entitled "The Spider Spins a Web." The day starting, the line breaks into space. The eight-legged dot descends slowly in saccades, drawing a line between life and misfortune. An insect will fly by and maybe live in ignorance of the trap being laid. Soon will be neatly drawn a deceiving, efficient gate separating safety from daily struggle. It is always time for flight, but it may be too late to flee, for the airhead airborne eventually. Fatally caught, flapping is the last struggle. The fly attempts to escape its fate. The effort won't produce much of a positive effect, only helping the predator come and slowly wrap the body in silky bundle.
Thank you, Cedric. Next up is Emily Davis Fletcher.
So I guess I should tell you that there's a dead dog in this poem. Mm-hmm. So I brought storage on people like, oh, not that poem again, and they got me. So I just want you to know, trigger warning, there's a dead dog. Can you guys hear that? Okay. So this is titled, "One Month After Your Birthday," and it's for Gabriel Black. Humming and holding in feelings, I drive to your house, your gifts in my back seat. Between yellow lines on Sam's Point, a sax goes a shine, the moon silver hook picks up, asks, is this yours? No, not mine, but I turn back, sweep my headlights over the shine of a speckled dog. Only this morning, sunlight led him around my yard, tail wagging to the left of your gifts, waiting by my window. I pull into my neighbor's driveway, carry sad news like a prayer, palms pressed together at my lips, I say I'm sorry, so sorry. Only I hear your name, a light crest of waves roaring inside the card I made you. My neighbor thanks me. I did nothing. I called here, slapped my thigh, but sunlight led the speckled dog away. What could I have done, I wonder, as I drive past the speckled dog, torn open, shining his last escape. At your door I leave your gifts, tied with gold ribbon, holding in vibrations, a word written in stars, the second letter of moon, one night from full circle, like lost running ahead of me. Thank you.
Thank you, Emily. Next up, Eugene Crowley.
This is a poem of loss. Loss of sisters Rose and Lana through suicide. All has changed utterly. Not so. Two graves filled a generation ago. That bitter bitch nemesis has had her day. Caress of a passing bullock. Minions continue to say, keep your head below the parapet. Not so. I continue to see the butterflies and the poppies. Shinny.
Next is Niall Hurley.
I made a list of things on the back of my hand, an itinerary of experience by first hand. This list grew long and soon took over my arm. On my elbow was heartbreak, and where it joined my shoulder was experiences that let me grow older. And as the fire lights, it should crack and then smoulder. I had to break a few sticks to move my boulder. Over time, this list grew, and really became mine. On each of my toes was every worry and woe. I put them down as they are my point of contact, a means to stay grounded. I wrote about love, lust and worry on my wrist and it wrapped around it. On my fingers was hurt and pain. I used them to keep me sane, as it always remained in sight. I wrote on my gut about an internal trust, a fight or flight feeling, so go you must. On my back I inscribed the many, many feelings of wonders and why. The million fails the three times that tries. My ties held words that spoke of luck and misfortune, the duality of man and the reason he seeks his endless fortune. I saved my neck for something special, but couldn't find the words to describe regret, knowing it as a longing to forget. Instead I left the space blank as a reminder that no past can predict your future. You're not stuck in a loop, you looper. Your story is just growing deeper and deeper. So dry your tears, you lonely weeper. Don't let your tears dilute the ink from which your words are written. Don't forget not to think. Let it happen, meditate and mediate. Not every open jaw leaves you bitten. Not every person leaves you smitten. A strong cat can only come from a kitten. So let your ink lines thicken and thicken. And cover your body and remember every word written. That was actually one I read here before, and I was meant to read it because I'm used to it. So my voice wouldn't shake, but obviously it didn't work. I'm nervous, I'm scared, I'm falling up the stairs. I'm wishful thinking, I'm mixing, I'm certainly sinking. I'm missing, I'm licking, I'm beaten, I'm cautious, I'm feeling so nauseous. I'm safe, I'm sorry, I'm oh so folly. I'm risk-taking, I'm blatant, I'm partially mistaken. I'm sorrow, I'm joy, I'm feeling kind of coy. I'm good, I'm brave, I'm slave. I'm smiling, I'm sulking, I'm dancing, I'm somehow prancing. I'm shaking, I'm breathing, I'm all over seething. I'm lost, I'm worried, I'm always in a hurry. I'm slowing, I'm stopped, I'm rising to the top. I'm going to the shop, do you want me to get you anything?
Next up, Mick Millman.
I met a Croatian girl in Poland. She told me she's been badly treated by the state. And so this is my take on it. I think she's has a good soul, this girl, and she's been badly treated. I wish I had been there when the shells were raining down, so close to your home. Only 7 miles from the front line, and you only 11 years old. I can still see the fright in your eyes, not easy to disguise. Yet through those eyes I see a beautiful soul, a human being who deserves so much more. How could they be so cruel, they who do not know you? They tell you go back to Croatia, go back to your hell. How dare they must have suffered little. Yet it is not those who inflict the most, but those who suffer the most prevail.
Thank you, Mary.
It's called natural resources. Invisible tears stalk me, heart and thought. Sleeping for preferment, life and fantastic. Undeserved insults only you know about. Complicated pleasure, lonely road. Showing support for a newly found cause. Achieving aims on a superior plane. Read for future deference, a welcome sight. Dead and finished is folklore royale. Cost and photographs, a full package. Distinguished career, a future behind you. Turning colours and cheeks to cold and damp. Predicting death is what's cracked up. Fighting for biscuits, a time for association. Guiding the corpse in its final glory. Silent as a quest for encumbering sorrow. The next little volume sells very well. The dead needing money like no other. Honorary positions losing their tinge. Fed for luck, scowling recognition. Starting from scratch is cost of saber. A dirt review sharpens determination. Standing complicated ground, a lesson untouched. Wiping the floor with praise unintended. Collections eaten to reputation, resting upon meaning of past lives, dying anyway. Thank you.
Study war no more. See the infant boys with their machine guns of rattling plastic and their moves down the street redolent of maneuvers seen on the television. They see and are influenced. War is play and those who die get to live again. Regardless of casualties, everyone gets home for supper. We, however, are older, and with the wisdom that it brings, know the real meaning of the butcher's bill. Why then, with this sorrowful knowledge, we engage or return to battle? It would go better for us if we studied war no more.
Main law here, but never mind, this will do. I wrote this 2013. The thing about the Victorian design of a lamppost is that it has all the grace and elegance of every piece of architecture designed and constructed there around it. The simple structure is almost everywhere. For example, in England, America, France, Ireland, people look at it, lean on it. It's a common post for the rich and the poor. I don't know who designed it, but we all love it. It's an emblem we cherish. Each and every one of these lampposts has a voice. The voice of the common people. The voice of belonging to a common understanding of private thoughts and thinking, and the wide, out loud spoken matters of the heart. The lamppost is a confessional box to wanderers of the night who stop along the way as they cross one bridge to another and pause to say a prayer or something else to the moon above, reflected in the spiraling suck me down water. There, below the bridge, slidy by night, we talk to the lamppost, lean on it, then flunk home to bed, thanking the lamppost for listening once more and for saving us once more from the suicide intended. One more. Don't talk to me. Don't talk to me about modern romance. Don't. Sorry. About love or shame. Don't talk to me about modern romance, about love or shame. Don't talk to me about fame. Don't talk to me about this or that. We'll bash this world to pieces, make eardrum splitting noise. In art, as in music, we pounce, pose, poise. Like Irish dancers, arms straight by our sides, just our feet in taps, tap, tippity tap, tippity tap, tippity tap, fade away. Now, I have one thing to say. I have found out recently, I am up.
Sorry, 2 minutes.
Okay. Thank you.
Next up, Molly Toon. The Good Herdsman Factory. Four little hoofs, pudgy tummy, yellow spiky fringe, two golden shells, curved valley spine, marshmallow butt. Enter my pet into our world. Can you smell that? The flank of your mother, where you used to curl last winter, knobbly knees needing a nodding nozzle, now an ingredient for Pato Coup de Cheval, 450 from the side of a Renault truck. Come with me, my fluffy friend, to the kill pen. Starve here 30 hours. Come along, my beautiful baby. Let me bash your skull in with a captive bolt, sweet and painless. Upside down by your hooks, peeling off your golden mane, your skin. Blood drains down your bones, water in a trough, emptied by thirsty thumbs. Your coffin awaits in my stomach. Welcome to our world, where I am so hungry, I could eat a horse.
Muslims are not very popular at the moment, and this is a poem about a Muslim woman who is just an ordinary woman and doesn't understand the awfulness that's happening around her. It's called Prostrate. The muezzin's cry calls you out of sleep. Covered in cloth that cancels all your curves, you find your place behind the latticed screen. Supplicate heaven to send no more distress. The belts of gelignite that rock the square. The prophet's message twisted in the sand. Fragments, symbols rising in the heat.
Thanks, man. As most of you know, I generally, or predominantly, write poetry using song titles, and I've usually gone for artists that I either A, like, or B, have an interest in. This particular artist doesn't apply in either of those categories, but he is my mother's favourite artist. She did have the box set of Cliff Richard when she was married. I just got a shudder when I was growing up. I never delved into it. But anyway, I decided to write a poem for my mum for Christmas, and it kind of had to be Cliff Richard. So this is called Love Is Enough, after Cliff Richard. Everybody knows love is the strongest emotion, that all kinds of people, every woman and man in the world, dream of living in harmony, and that somewhere over the rainbow in a wide open space where nothing is impossible, true loving lives forever. Everybody knows everyone needs somebody to love, but long is the night for the lonely girl, that yesterday's memories linger forever on a mighty lonely man's heartbeat, that going home alone to an empty tomb with empty chairs, you will never know true love ways. Everybody knows in the bleak midwinter little things, idle gossip, tea for two, a true smile mean a lot. Everybody knows in the bleak midwinter winning words, I love you. I love you forever. There'll never be anyone else but you. Take special care of two hearts. Everybody knows when love is in the stars, in a matter of moments we shall be changed. That love and a helping hand hold us together, make every day a carnival day. Everybody knows when love is here, magic is the moonlight, simplicity, butterfly kisses life. We constantly ease along, and the joy of living is ocean deep and all that matters. How wonderful to know everybody knows that yesterday, today, forever, no matter what, for you and I, love is enough.
Smart phones are smart, but clever phones are clever.
Do you want to go now or do you want to go after
me? No, where you
at? Sure, you're ready to chair,
no.
I suppose, no truth to that.
Yes, handing the leader bag and their books and stuff in their car deck and they're on a boat, and then you realize you've not asked each other and you want to invite them down. So I took it down on my phone. Probably smell at the time. I hope that you remember the best of me when the time of our meeting has passed. I want to hand-pick the moments that last, as a painter retouches to white that which doesn't fit in what is trying to be shown. I want to be an editor with a floor full of cuttings and hands full of gold. I want to open my palms to you so that you could see at least what I meant to mean. It is not deceit. I want to shine the mask that meets yours because I think you are worthy of the effort. It is my 6-inch layer of topsoil from which the rest of me grows. You know me fresh and wet with it, and you know me without. Pressed too close, you'd recognize the difference in taste. I try not to ramble. You know where I live, you've been to my home and lay on the floor, you've seen its own clean. It took nothing to show it, but it's with my trust you know it, and I hope that you hold it close. Try not mention my loose ends when you talk about me with your friends. Now that I'm no longer there to make amends, nor write the record. I hope that somewhere in you the best of me still strives to communicate. For my insecurities could eat me alive, and I am going to need more than imperfection to survive.
Charles, please.
many years ago, we had a relevant called Anacleric. Some of us remember him, he was a little doctor among other things. And I thought on one of his comparatively few outings outside this country, he went to China and Australia on state visits. And he climbed up Ayers Rock, large part of the way up, with his wife Maeve going on after him. And then the officials stopped him and said, you know, affairs of state. And so he wasn't able to climb Ayers Rock. Then he went on to China. He was in, he climbed the Great Wall, or part of it. And I thought, and then when he came home, they said, well, what was the best thing you saw? And he said, I saw the Irish flag being raised over the Irish embassy in Peking. And I thought, this must be worth an epigram. There must be an epigram here. And I found it difficult, because epigrams are terribly difficult to write. And I went on about Paddy's, overflying Paddy's, and all that kind of stuff. That didn't work. And then I thought Harrington, the famous epigram by Sir Thomas, Sir William, was it? Harrington in the early 17th century, legendary figure, important figure. And he wrote that famous epigram about treason. Treason does never prosper. What's the reason? For if it prosper, none dare call it treason. And I thought, well, no, I can adapt that. So I thought, had he had ever prospered, what's the reason? He's at a tension in the notice season.
To round up the 495th Soul Vale, Mike
Screen. This is a walk in Glasscarbery at night and in the up randomly at an exercise class. Swanning around. On my dark walk, swans are watching, rocking steady, still keep still in their spot. What the hell are they thinking? What do they see in this squall? I am on a causeway 2 centuries ago, Lord Carbery's militia, men marching over water. Build their bridges, count his cattle, there to be lit. Marching on the spot, stuck in time on this plaque. I am prancing in the pool of lovelies, not a swan amongst us girls, all lagging low and bingo-winged, thrashing through their motions. Acrobic bunny girls, all obedient to him. The lean and brawny tattooed one, who counts them briskly in. Bathing on Bathsheba's baths, all white skinned, snowy breasted, accommodating tugs and the ploughman to fill his plate, the boat. Leaping, twisting forms, all bobbing in their place. Cinching to make no mark on another bubbly, sweating face. Bobbing up and down, hearing only him. Marching bands of aqua girls, like swan boats of plastic barred and sun. How gainly were those lovely swans, seeing blindly through the dark. Bands of militia, stuck on troubled waters past. We are no lowly signets, gathering to the flock. Lily, overripe mothers, walk on waters to lose their flap. But across the causeway, they are watching, staring straight ahead.